Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, health, and our journey and spirituality and how it all intertwines together. Our journey of healing and how our physical health all fit together. So I am so excited to talk to the amazing Molly today. So Molly, welcome to my podcast. And we are going to just, you know, have an authentic convo about health today. So how are you, honey?
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming. I'm doing very well.
Good. So you and I have been working together for a couple months now, right? Or maybe 3 months. I don't know how long it's been.
I think we're a little closer to four.
Oh, 4 months. Okay. And I've been so fascinated with you from the very beginning because you told me your story. We always start our coaching with you giving me an idea of what your journey has been like on planet Earth. And I was so amazed with your story right off the get-go, with your stuff that you've overcome with your health, because it was so in line with the things that I've believed about health. And you are such a beautiful example about the connection with our emotions and our will to live and our will to heal ourselves and to really think of health outside the box. So today I want you to kind of give us your tips and tricks, and I want you to tell people about your journey. So let's start with, first off, telling us a little bit about your journey with health and what has happened in your life.
Okay. So my journey is quite lengthy. I kind of think of it in a two-prong, but then it comes back together. So I'm first going to talk about sleep. So as a child, I struggled with sleep, which has carried through to my adult life. And we all know that sleep is very, very important. It affects every aspect of our well-being. So that, I will say, is journey number one, but I want to come back to that. But I'm sure that plays into my major health problems. When I was in college, I signed up for these random pap smear studies because you got paid $75. And what college kid, you know, didn't need $75? And it was discovered through that random testing that I had a rare form of cervical cancer. What you see on the TV where you can get the vaccine and the most common is cervical cancer on the outside of the cervix, which is cellular. And mine was diagnosed as glandular, which inside the cervix. And at the time, I was the second person ever diagnosed with this. So, and I was at University of Washington, top-notch college, top-notch medical school. And they asked if I'd be part of a study. And of course, I'm like, okay. And you know, at that age, I'm just like, okay, they said it was, you know, in its infancy stage, you know, for the cancer, I would just need to probably have a surgery. Had a pretty aggressive surgery where they removed half my cervix and either they didn't get it all or it came back. It was probably 3 to 6 months later and had another surgery. And at that time, I'd graduated college and looking to, you know, start my career somewhere. So I actually had to look when I moved to actually have a doctor that would understand what I needed medically. And Las Vegas was one of those places. So was California, but I chose Las Vegas. I'd been cancer-free, got married, immediately, you know, wanted to start a family because of the worry of my gynecological issues, and got pregnant, was not able to carry full term. So I delivered my first child at 27 and a half weeks. She was 2.2 pounds, and it happened because my body was failing me. It was interesting. Most women dilate, and you would think because I only had half a cervix that it would be easy for a baby to kind of pop out. However, because of the surgeries, my cervix was completely scarred. So there was no way a baby was going to come out. So the whole emergency C-section, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then my daughter, Elijah, only, she's 2.2 pounds, only lived 9 days. And then, so there's the grief of that, my body failing me, but nope, getting right back on, you know, wanted to have a baby really, really, really bad. Which in the meantime, I'd probably had 2 or 3 miscarriages. My body just didn't like to be pregnant. But so after Elijah, actually went on the fertility stuff, got pregnant, you know, pretty much right away. Super high risk pregnancy, had surgeries to stay pregnant. A multiple team of doctors were at the delivery because of my health concerns, and then to be my daughter, Kennedy, but made it almost the whole pregnancy. She was probably only like a month or 5 weeks early. Awesome, you know, amazing. And going, you know, back down the road, I'd been cancer-free. I was always up on my checks. And then 2017, went in and they're like, you know, you have an abnormal. And I was like, okay, didn't really surprise me. You know, all the doctors assumed at one point the cancer, you know, potentially would come back, and because they really didn't know a lot about this cancer.
So let me ask you a question. So between the time that you were diagnosed and then the time that it had come back, how long was that?
So I was diagnosed at 22. And then 2017 is 4 years ago. So it came back when I was 41. So I'd been cancer-free for 20 years. But honestly, I didn't stress out about it. It was like, okay, this was bound to happen, going to have a radical hysterectomy, no big deal. Even my cancer doctor thought that. So much she wasn't worried that I didn't have the whole body scan. Went in what we thought was routine radical hysterectomy. They opened me up. The cancer had moved to my ovary, the size of an avocado or your fist, and went to my lymph nodes. And that's when the doctor started panicking, taking lymph node after lymph node. I guess the procedure with that is you keep taking them till you find lymph nodes that don't have cancer in them. So when I woke up from surgery, I woke up thinking nothing, you know, this was just routine. And then, you know, you're still like in that fog from anesthesia, and all I heard was chemo. And I was like, what? And then when she said what had happened, you know, definitely sent me into shock. But at the same time, it didn't surprise me. So I would say in 2015, I had repeatedly gone to my regular OB and to my general practitioner saying, I was advocating for myself. There's something wrong with me. I'm puffy. I'm bloated. I have 5 to 7 pounds that I can't lose. And they're like, oh, girl, you're almost 40, this, that, and the other. I'm like, no, I know my body. And at the same time, my body rejected, I had an IUD in, and my body rejected the IUD, which was a horrific process within itself. But the doctors wouldn't listen to me. And I feel that if the doctors would have listened to me back then, they would have done a more aggressive type of, you know, PAP that I needed yearly. And that's just how much I knew my body. So then we start the process. It's super emotional, obviously, to find out chemo. I was listed at stage 4. 18% chance of living. And I literally never been a person like, woe is me. Why does this happen to me? It was just, all right, here we go. I'm not dying. And it never crossed my mind. The hardest conversation was having to tell my daughter, she came home from school, which would have just been the normal conversation. Like, mom, how are you feeling? I know you went for your checkup. And, you know, I sat her down and I said, I have to have chemo. And she's like, what? It wasn't supposed to be like that. And mind you, my daughter was probably in 6th or 7th grade at the time. Smart kid, wise beyond her years. And the first thing she says to me, she says, are you going to die? I said, not today. She said, okay. And then the journey started. I'll be honest, like I am not a fan of traditional Western medicine. If I didn't have a child or a husband, I would not have done chemo. I probably would have taken a loan out on the house and taken myself to the Gerson Institute down in Mexico or San Diego. But I felt this weird responsibility that I had to go the traditional way. So literally, when they told me I had to have chemo, the doctor walked me from her office to the chemo part. Her office was nice, where they actually did the chemo in the office, but that's how fast. And then quickly the next day I got a port put in, everything was escalated.
So they started your chemo that day?
They started it 3 days later.
Oh, 3 days later. Okay. Wow. Yeah,
but walked me right in to have my consult, to get the expedited orders, I guess you call them, to get the port put in, and then literally started. And then I had a very straightforward conversation with my doctor, my cancer doctor. It wasn't an ask. It was, I am going to do alternate treatments throughout chemo. And she said, okay, and never really asked details because she probably didn't want to know, which was fine. But, you know, she didn't shame on me or anything like that. And it's kind of interesting. A lot of you that listen to this podcast and are part of our group know Paulina. How I even found my alternate doctor is through a strange route, but it was through Paulina. Her and some of her mastermind ladies got together and they gave me sessions for infrared therapy. And along with that, money for testing so I could go to this alternate place for the testing so I could start alternate medication. So that started my journey, which then I'm meeting like all these fascinating people in the alternate medicine world.
So what I love so much with you is I love when you first got the diagnosis, the very first thing that I hear when you tell your story is that you made the decision right then and there. Like, I'm not going anywhere. You've told me I have a daughter and I'm not going anywhere. Now, on that note, some things are predetermined. I believe it is the plan. I believe that, you know, that is sometimes we make a plan before we ever come here that we're going to come here, we're going to have a diagnosis, and we're going to pass away from that diagnosis. So I don't want to say, you know, that everybody that gets a diagnosis that their situation is going to be the same. But I also fully believe that we have so much power to heal ourselves. And what I love about you is you took ownership of that. You didn't just sit back and say, hey, doctor, what are you going to do with me? You said, okay, I'm getting to work. I'm going to start researching. I'm going to start looking at alternative things. And you took a lot of time and energy to stand in your power and take your health in your own hands. And that's what I just adore so much about your story, because it's so in line with what I believe. I believe that we first and foremost need to be our own doctor and our own spiritual guide and our own teacher and all of these different things. And then from there, it goes out and we can have added support. But what I see so many people do in today's world is that's flopped. They look to other people and give them all the power, and then their self is second. And I think that we have to be our own doctor, our own teacher, our own nurse, you know, our own spiritual guide, all of those different things, our own nutritionist, and then from there get added support. And I think that's what you did. So I love that so much. So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned Gerson Institute. I think a lot of people don't know what that is. So tell us a little bit about what they do. You know, for people that are going to be listening to this in the future, cancer touches a lot of people's lives. And it's getting even more and more common. My 23-year-old daughter, she told me that, you know, one of her good friends, he got diagnosed a year ago with cancer, and she's so young. And so even my young kids are having people that they know become diagnosed with cancer. So I really wanted to have this conversation because so many people can relate to this. I actually went to a funeral last week for a friend of ours that passed away from cancer. So I know that this is a very common subject, and I love to share your success story with people because I think that a lot of people are going to be able to relate, and this information is so important. So tell us a little bit about Gerson, and then tell us what you did.
Yeah, so the limited research I did on that, it's not based on Western medicine of let's go in with the chemo, because everybody knows the chemo kills the bad stuff, but it also kills the good stuff. So based on the fact and doing all the research, cancer grows off of inflammation, which is triggered by sugar. So your body just becomes like this nasty, I don't know, kind of breeding ground. So it focuses on getting all the inflammation out of your body. And there are many ways to do that, but cutting sugars and carbs and the red wine, all that kind of stuff. In addition, getting your body in a complete like alkaline state. So you're not too acidic. I can't remember the spectrum of that. So taking some of those basic nutritional things. I very rarely do I eat carbs anymore, but when I do, it's going to be nachos or pizza. You know how we discussed, you're not like the 100%, but I'm like more the 80-20, but I wanted to rid my body of inflammation. I did glutathione, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, infusion, which that reduces inflammation in your body. And those infusions were probably weekly. At least two times a week, I would go into an infrared sauna booth. And that premise is it reduces inflammation. So like my whole thing was, how do I get the inflammation and the yucky growing ground for cancer out of my body?
Yeah. With the infusion, what is that? I don't need to know the name specifically, because I know you said you don't necessarily know it, but is it like an infusion of vitamins or nutrients? Is that what it is? Like a healthy infusion?
Yes, but it's not like those little pop-up doctor places where you go for the bag of, you know, vitamin B or vitamin C. The doctor is actually from Mexico, and her practice was actually supported by diabetes. It was a diabetic clinic, which when you look at diabetes, that's inflammation and sugar. Your body can't regulate it, blah, blah, blah. So they kind of went hand in hand. And I'll be honest, it was kind of the weird back part of her office. But okay, so during chemo, so they were actual bags and they wouldn't use my port. So they had to, you know, needle into my arm. The protocol during chemo was on day three after chemo is usually when you crash. I would go in for potassium and amino acids. And then a couple of days after that, I would go in for a high dose. And when we're talking high dose, they are borderline toxic. Vitamin B, the glutathione, amino acids. It was like this cocktail, honestly, that was they did make for me, depending on how I told them I was feeling. So that was every week. And then after cancer, because doing research in this clinic also did the alternate therapies. After cancer, I did toxic levels of high dose vitamin C. And there are studies out there, they're hard to find, but it says the high dose vitamin C can actually kill the cancer. And there was another patient that was being treated. She was stage 3 breast cancer, and she chose to only do the high dose vitamin C. And within 3 months, she was cancer free.
Wow. Just to be clear, everyone, Molly and I are not giving you any medical advice. We are not doctors. Go get your own medical advice. But I've heard this about vitamin C. It's so amazing. And I've heard this so many times since the whole epidemic is vitamin C. I keep hearing about vitamin C and how important it is for your immune system. I love how you said that they're hard to find, those studies, because unfortunately, it is hush hush. It's like, ooh, don't tell people about vitamin C. You know, it is a well known, magical, beautiful thing that vitamin C can really, really help support your body.
And also during the infusions, I would, so the chemo actually attacked my lungs, where, you know, again, it attacks the good part of the body. Why the chemo attacked my lungs, no idea. My lung capacity went down to 30%. There were several days where I couldn't take more than 5 steps without being completely knocked out of breath. So when I'd have my infusions, I'd be hooked up to, it's not a breathing machine, oxygen. And they actually would rotate between frankincense and the breathe of the doTERRA. And literally it acted almost like a natural steroid where it would open my lungs up.
Wow. That's awesome. Good. Good to know. That's really important to know right now too, you know? So frankincense and breathe, which has like peppermint and okay.
Frankincense actually was more because their chemo fog or brain fog, as they call it, it is a real thing. And I think the frankincense was more to combat that. But then the combination with the breathe, like just, it was like magic in my lungs.
Awesome. So what else did you do?
I did colon cleanses weekly with a colon therapist, which again, you have to find someone that's willing to work with you while you're on chemo, because a lot of them won't. But I found the one, and she is my friend to this day, very similar thinking, has offered so much good advice, healthy, holistic advice on other areas as well. But that was done with organic coffee because chemo affects all your organs, my liver and kidney functions were slightly off, and doing the organic coffee is, I believe, was supposed to be really good for the liver, and my liver bounced right back after that. And a lot of it also was to try to get the chemo out of my body. So a lot of detoxing. I did some very interesting lymph node drainage where it was a machine that was almost like this, it's not like cupping, but it kind of had the effect. So there was a way that she went around on major lymph node areas. And so it would pull out, but it would actually pull out of my skin a gray to almost black liquid. That was actually one of the most fascinating things that I did. Also throughout, I sat in a zero gravity chair. It's the same place that did the infrared with the Rife machine, which I'm super not familiar with it, but I know it has to do with sound vibrations. Jen, do you know more about the Rife machine?
I don't. I've heard about it, but I haven't really gone into it much. Does it have something to do with the HZ? Because there's healing frequencies. There's like frequency of love, frequency of peace, of joy, of healing. Interesting. Okay. That's what you did?
That literally was like magic, because another side effect of chemo, I lost the feeling in my fingertips and toes. And I did that probably twice a week, but it would dial in what's a code to put in for neuropathy. I would literally leave and have feeling to my hands and feet again.
That is so amazing. Is there anything else that you did that you want people to know?
Stayed positive. I never said, woe is me. It was, I'm getting through to the next day and the next day. I've always been a believer in mind over matter, and this was just another obstacle. And if I can jump back to, you mentioned soul contracts, and I had always been a person that thought everything happens for a reason. And I didn't, until we started working together 3-4 months ago, I didn't know the term soul contract. And I'm a true believer in that. And Jen and I also went over my life purpose. And it comes down to, through every tragedy that I've experienced, it wasn't woe is me. It's like, what do I do with this? And from the get-go, when I was 22, when this happened, okay, diagnosed with cancer, I've had these surgeries, what do I do with this? Well, I need to tell my friends. They need to watch their female health. You need to advocate for yourself. When I had a child that died, I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? Number one was like, we're not getting in bed. We need to get up and deal with this, which that's how I am, which I know, you know, a lot of people aren't, but it helped me process things. And then I'm like, well, what was the purpose of me having a child, you know, and her dying? I'm like, well, there are some women that can never get pregnant. So I'm focusing on the fact that I got to carry a pregnancy. I got to deliver a birth. I got to feel what it was like to be pregnant. And what do I do with this? I need to talk about it. I need to teach people about it. And then, you know, many miscarriages. And then even the pregnancy was not easy with my daughter, Kennedy, but it was like, okay, what do I do with this? It was never woe is me. It was, what do I do with this and how to push forward? So then when you talk about soul contracts, that actually made me feel so good because it made everything make sense.
So the reason that soul contracts resonated so much with you is because it felt like truth to you, right? Because we have these experiences in life and it's like, I don't get it. What is this all about, right? When you understand soul contracts, which I know some people might not understand what we're talking about when we say that. And essentially what we're talking about is, you know, looking at life as a classroom. And before you came to the planet, we made these different agreements that we were going to experience different things. And some of them are really hard. Some of them are great and exciting and rainbows and butterflies, but some aren't. Some are very, very hard. Most of them are really hard because we wanted to experience contrast when we came to the planet. Because you know, when we go back home to the truth of who we really are, once we leave this outfit of Molly and Jen, we don't experience sickness or cancer or health issues or the contrast emotions and challenges that we can have here on planet Earth. So it really is a chance for us to learn and grow and progress, for our soul to progress. You know, sometimes we plan those really hard things and we make these agreements with each other to meet up and play a certain part. And so for sure, these things that you have gone through, you know, with you learning how to take your power and stand in your power with your health and really be your own advocate and your own warrior, to turn around and teach other people that, that's pretty profound, honey. And to go through with having a child transition, how painful. I think that's the most painful thing that any human, as far as I can tell, just by what I've witnessed and what I can only imagine, I think that's got to be the most painful thing for anyone to have to go through. On the flip side of that, I'm always in awe of people like you that go through something like that, because to me, I'm like, wow, what a strong soul to have that experience. Because once you get to the other side of that grief, because I know you've done a lot of work and it's been a painful experience for you, but once you get to that healing, I know your baby girl's birthday was just the other day. We were able to celebrate that and talk about that, and you were able to feel joy, right?
Yes, the first time in 18 years. Like, I was happy. I didn't have my anxiety that would sneak up around the birth and passing. It was the first time, like, I made it through. April was always a tough month. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, we're celebrating. It was amazing.
What a beautiful gift, though, because to mankind, that is such a beautiful gift, because what that is a pillar of strength for people to see, like, whoa, she was able to get through that and be able to experience joy again and be able to, you know, have her baby girl's birthday and go, happy birthday, I love you. And I'm grateful for that experience. So profound. Okay, honey. So go back to the sleep issues. Let's circle back here and tell us, first of all, what happened with your cancer then? So you went through all of these experiences and then what?
Okay. So I was supposed to have 6 rounds of chemo. The chemo was literally, you know, killing my lungs out. So we stopped one round early, which I was just like, I was devastated. I'm like, you know, nobody wants chemo, but I'm like, that's supposed to be the plan and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I went for a scan and they're like, you're completely cancer free. And I have been cancer free since, which is going on 4 years. So yay me.
Nice. And you were in stage 4. And I think that's so important for people to realize, you know, because you hear that and people go, oh my gosh, stage 4, that is really scary to hear that. You know, that's the difference in your diagnosis this time around, as opposed to when you were 22.
Yeah, 22, because they didn't know much about the cancer, they just called it a quasi, you know, stage 1. But the second go around, it was, I'm sorry, you have stage 4 cancer and it's an 18% survival rate.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear those odds. So now you've been cancer free for 4 years. So now tell us about your sleep stuff now. So you had problems since you were a small child.
Yeah, for as long as I can remember. I was that kid that couldn't fall asleep and I would constantly think about, why can't I fall asleep? So those type of running thoughts. And if I don't get enough sleep, I'm going to be sick. So that was as long as I can remember. I was the kid that never spent the night at somebody's house because I would worry about sleep. And then my mom would have to come pick me up every single time. And then as an adult, probably college, I actually didn't have a problem falling asleep, but I never stayed asleep. And that continued up until 3 months ago when I started working with Jen. And again, so like I talk about the sleep and the cancer as kind of two different things, but it all goes together. But the sleep and the anxiety, like it's profound what has happened with me. We started with doing daily IMs and I do take everything to an extreme. So Jen told me to do an IM related to my health, which we worked on that, which one was sleep. I do. I take things to the extreme. Whenever I had any downtime, I was constantly doing my IMs. And then I love that.
You know, we'd meet up a week later and I'd say, "Hey, Molly, did you do your IMs?" And you're like, "Yeah." And I said, "How many times?" "Well, I've done them several times a day." I'm like, "Oh, can I duplicate you? What a wonderful, wonderful example you are to others." Like sometimes I'll ask people that and they're like, "Oh, geez, I totally forgot." Or, "No, it's so hard to remember." And you were saying them multiple times a day. my star child.
So in combination with the IMs, I started a daily meditation. But for me, I did it at bedtime. And I have a couple of my favorite meditations. And actually, IMs are entwined in one of them. But I found that, yes, would I still wake up in the night, but it was much easier for me to lay my head to the other side and go back to sleep. So my sleep started getting more and more solid. And then it was probably about a month ago, Jen and I had a session and we were talking about golden hour and some tweaks. Well, I said, "I pretty much do everything, but I already know when I tell you this, you're going to get mad at me because this is a big no-no. I have a TV in my room and I know what I watch at night is against the golden hour because I'm a law and order junkie, a crime junkie, Dateline, whatever it is." And I would fall to sleep to that. And so I was like, "All right, I'm going to put my big girl panties on and not do that." And Jen gave me some great alternatives, you know, watch something funny. So really got into that series Schitt's Creek, which is hilarious. But I would make sure to do it downstairs. I'd watch, you know, my little end of the evening show, go up to bed, not even turn the TV on, get my little meditation going. And the meditations that I listen to, the shortest one's like 3 hours, but most of them take you all the way through. So it's just constantly on. I had already been doing better sleeping. My anxiety had already been getting way better. But when I just made that little tweak of changing my TV and having a TV in my room type thing, I don't have any sleep issues and I don't have any anxiety. Those are things I've struggled with for as long as I can remember. It's gone. It just 3-4 months with small changes to my daily routine has turned me into a completely more exciting, more livable, more laughable, more life person, more magic.
My gosh, I love that so much. That is so beautiful. The key things that you're talking about here are so important because I've seen so many people that have sleep issues. I mean, so many people struggle with sleep issues. You've mentioned several things here. First of all, cancer. Okay. Lots of people deal with that. But then on top of that, sleep issues, which is a really big deal. And then on top of that, anxiety. Okay. If somebody does not have one of those three things, they're very lucky in their life, right? But those are such common things, especially like the sleep stuff. And, you know, we can fall asleep, but do we wake up several times throughout the night? And you mentioned these things that are so important for people to realize. You were putting yourself in a state of like, you know, when you're watching those intense movies, especially before you go to sleep. So you mentioned the golden hour. Yes, this is something that I shout from the rooftops with people about. And that is that last hour right before you go to sleep. It's really important on what you're focusing on, because whatever it is, you've got this invisible plug from your brain, essentially your subconscious, and you're plugging it into whatever it is you're putting your focus on. And you're in that for the next 6 to 8 hours. So it's no surprise that once you changed that and you tweaked that, and now you're watching something funny. I love that you're doing that outside of the bedroom, watching it and then going to bed, you know, putting yourself in a state of meditation or something more restful and then going to sleep to that. And now it's completely shifted how you feel in your waking hours.
It literally has changed my life. Oh, do you know one other thing that I want to touch on? Can I share the breast scan?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So right at the beginning of COVID, just went for a regular mammogram or a little bit before COVID, and it came back that there was something. So then I'm like, "Oh, great, here we go." You know, get sent to the specialist and they special, you know, whatever the extra testing is, they had determined I either had a cyst or a lymph node that was inflamed, irritated, but needed to watch it just in case it turned into cancer. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, great, you know, here we go again. But so I had to go for like regular checkups. And, you know, so I went the 6 months later, they're like, no change. Okay. So this last one, though, it has been since I've been working with Jen, doing the IAMs, I'm sleeping, all this. And I don't have to go back anymore because it literally, let's say, went from 4 centimeters to barely detectable.
Wow.
And I know it's because I'm sleeping. I know it's because I don't have anxiety. I know it's because I'm setting such a positive outlook for my body and taking care of it. And again, it's like, nope, this isn't happening.
Yep. You're healing your body. You're loving on yourself. You're, you know, the cells of our body can hear what we're saying. So if we're saying, for example, with you, you got this story as a small child, I can't sleep, or I'm having a problem sleeping, or I'm having a crappy night's sleep, right? So the cells of our body hear that. And so it is, right? We manifest every second, every minute of every day. And we are our first line of defense. We are the power. We create. When you started to shift that and you started saying, I'm getting a great night's sleep, I'm having a peaceful night's rest, right? I'm waking up refreshed. The cells of your body followed suit. And so as you started to love on your body and really send this beautiful light, and I'm sure that meditation helped too at night that you were doing, it doesn't surprise me at all. Is that a coincidence that all of a sudden that lump in your breast is hardly detectable? I don't think so.
I agree. And then also I've been doing the mirroring work for about 3 months now. And Jen, you'll have to remind me the name of the book, You Can Heal Yourself. Is that what it's called?
You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Life-changing book. That's a book that I will never share with anyone because like I look at it all the time. but there's this really cool glossary where it has mantras for whatever your ailment is. So I found the one for cancer. I found the one for anxiety. I found the one for sleep. And I do mirror work with that every single day.
Yep. So that's another big thing that is important for people to hear. I love that you're bringing this up. And that is, you know, you and I, we've talked a lot about the connection between emotions and different things that we've gone through in life, different traumas, different stories that we've attached to ourselves and how they show up in physical form, right? I don't remember what the one for cancer, actually, I have the book right here, but the book she's talking about is right here. And I know you have a new rendition of it. But in the back, it has a glossary of different ailments. And I'm going to look up cancer for us. And so cancer, it says probable cause, deep hurt, longstanding resentment, deep secret or grief eating away at the self, carrying hatreds, and the belief, what's the use? Right? When you read that, did it resonate with you? You don't have to say what it was, but did it resonate?
Yeah. It did. And I think I touched base with you. I definitely had some resentment towards my parents over some silly things where I'd literally like be joking with my friends going, I completely resent my parents for blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking back at that. I'm like, I've been putting that out there, even if it wasn't like a nasty, nasty way, I have resentment. And I'm like, I put that out there.
You even said those words. Interesting. That's interesting because a lot of times people will hold resentment, but they don't realize they're holding resentment or they don't actually say those words, resentment. But that's amazing. You actually said those words. So the new thought pattern that to heal that is I lovingly forgive and release all of the past. I choose to fill my world with joy. I love and approve of myself. So beautiful. And that's just one example. I mean, there's all kinds of things in here when it comes to, you know, different ailments. But when we learn about the connection, another really fabulous book that helps you learn about the connection is The Emotion Code. And that is having trapped emotions in your body, and then how they can show up in physical form. And once we make that connection, it's like just connecting that dot and changing. It's like uncovering this story that's wreaking havoc on our life and uncovering it, shining the light on it, and then going, hey, let's change that. Let's flop it. Let's turn it to a more honoring story. Then that's what it takes. That's getting to the root of the issue. Instead of just going and taking a pill or dumping, you know, chemicals into our body and then not paying attention to what is the root of this? What is causing this ailment? Because our bodies are amazing and they're divinely created for us to get our attention. So it was like, hey, Molly, here I am. And it gets louder and louder until it shows up in physical form to really get your attention. Yeah?
Yes, 100%.
So I have a couple more questions for you, Molly. So a lot of people right now are really afraid of stuff going on in the world with health, because that's always been like, you know, this last over a year, people have been freaking out about their health. What would your advice be to people that are afraid right now when it comes to stuff going on in the world with health?
I even hate to think that people are afraid. I don't want people to be afraid. Do your own research. We all know that everything we see on TV is backed by agendas that put 80% of information and studies out there, but those aren't always true. There's, you know, politicalness behind it. There's money behind it. Don't be scared. Be your own advocate. Go for what feels right for you. Do your research, read, get on the internet, talk to your friends. But don't be scared, because that causes so many other things. Put that aside and go forward, get your plan together and educate yourself. Be your advocate.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's such profound advice to people, because they've actually done studies that when you are in a state of fear, it suppresses your immune system, right? When you're in a state of love or positivity or joy or laughter, it actually increases your immune system. And so I've seen so many people over the course of this last year that I've witnessed, and I've seen even before this stuff going on with this pandemic, that I've seen people have like self-fulfilling prophecies of like things that they've worried about with their health, then it's come true. You know, I've witnessed that this last year as well. People that have been really, really afraid are the ones that have possibly gotten sick, or, you know, thought that they were in a lot of danger, then they've wreaked havoc on their bodies. And so that's why I've really commended these doctors that have come out and said, hey, don't be afraid. I'm always going to follow that person more than someone that's trying to scare me. So that's such great advice. Okay. My last question to you, my dear, is what is your message to the world? So if there's anything you could tell people, what would your message be?
To love yourself and to love others. Love is powerful. It's magical, but it starts with you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this insightful conversation and bringing us into your world and the things that you've experienced, because I think you are such a pillar of light to the world and such a great example. So thank you. And thanks for doing your IMs so many times. I'm really proud of you for that. I love that.
Thank you for having me, and meeting you and working with you has profoundly changed who I am. I know everything. I already had the tools, but there were words and connections that it was just finally like, oh my God, this all makes sense. So I thank you for your hard work that you do with people like me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, honey. I love you so much. Okay, everyone, thank you for being here with us. If you liked this, be sure to hit the subscribe button and share it, like it, and come back so you can be notified for future episodes. All right, everyone, have a fabulous week, and bye for now. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.